Welcome to The Truth Is Funny, Ship Happens, with Colette Marie Steffen, inspiring ship on Transformation Talk Radio, gracing the airways every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific since 2013. And we're live on Facebook, providing nuggets of wisdom, tales from the vector, and energetic upgrades to lift you, shift you, and empower you to ride the wave of infinite potential. Do you have a problem? It is never what you think it is. Logical questions require creative solutions. Colette is a leading expert in the field of quantum energetic transformation. Learn to identify the usual energetic suspects and major accomplices to unveil another layer preventing you from living your authentic desires. You are a blank canvas. May as well paint a rainbow. We'd love to hear from you. Call 1-800-930-2819.
Fantastic. That's awesome. I was getting into the groove. Love Colette's groovy music. So do a little early morning dance there. So welcome, ladies and gentlemen, for wherever you're tuning into from far and wide, whether from Canada, the United States, or around the world, across the pond and west nor east in either direction. Welcome to The Truth Is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio with your host today, Caleb Matthews. Obviously, so thankful for this opportunity to speak to you once again. So thanks to Colette and her team at Transformation Talk Radio who make this possible. So dreams, the great equalizer, that is the topic today. So what does it mean to be equal? So that's really, really just the struggle and the wrestling of humanity over really decades and centuries and thousands of years in human history is the equal playing field where everyone has an equal opportunity to for freedom, for access to resources in the world. But also I'm going to touch on today the access to the heavenly resources, the spiritual resources, the dreams, the night seasons. So I know for many of us this week has been, you know, stressful, or there's a lot going on in the world, or just very busy. It's easy to continually be plugged into the rat race, the hamster on the wheel, the matrix, so to speak. So I like using visuals. So here's something that we're all very much used to, is a plug and a charging cord that we use for our devices. So if this is a plug, if this is us, and this is obviously connecting our sight, our looking, our visual glass, our perspective into whatever we're going to connect it into, we have a choice every single day to what we plug into and what we're connecting to and where we're getting our information from. So there's so many times where the world just overshadows our focus on really the things that are more important, that are have a higher priority. I'm not saying the things in the world aren't important, but our spirit gets neglected oftentimes. So I encourage you today to unplug for a few moments with me. So let's unplug together, unplug from the world system, from politics, from government, from things going on in society and your work or family, or just unplug for a few moments here. If you're joining me on the air right now or later on when you're listening to this talk, to unplug from the busyness, the distraction, and from the chaos, and really to get higher. It's something that I've talked about in my talks over the last number of months and years with getting into the MPA, the multiple perspective advantage. So dreams, the great equalizer, really going into the origins, the ethos of my passion, which is the realm of talking about dreams and visions and interpretation, and also where we get our blueprints from. This is my main passion. Obviously I enjoy my day job. I work for a telecommunications company, have for 8 years, but my real passion, my real hobby, my real desire is to guide people in their dream interpretation journeys and their lives on unpackaging, decoding their dreams. So how are dreams a great equalizer? So the description, if you may have seen it in the introduction, every single human being on planet Earth was born a dreamer. All of us are. That's a fact. No matter who you are, your culture, your heritage, spirituality, you and I can have a limitless nightlife season. So how's your nightlife? And we're going to explore that today. So let's join together as we delve into a realm of dreams and keeping our priorities on the spiritual world and the night season. That's really what this is about. But dreams right away, the great equalizer, just like a glass of water, just like we're made up mostly of water as human beings. Dreams are a great measuring stick, makes us equal. Every person dreams. And if you say you don't dream, then that's not possible, because scientifically we dream even if we don't remember our dreams. It's very rare that someone will not dream for a very, very, very long period of time. And I'm going to get into how we can disqualify ourselves from being dreamers or convincing ourselves we aren't when we are. And because our Western culture has really programmed us to think a certain way of what a dreamer is, but the Eastern culture is very much more expansive than that. So equalizer. So this terminology on equal. So equalizer implies something is not equal. It should be. Dreams is a great equalizer. We all have dreams. We all have the capacity to dream, but equalizer implies something is not equal. So as I said before, we heard over the centuries, humanity is screaming for equality, human rights, freedom, democracy, the struggle. Today, we're going to discuss dreams, though, and celebrate the fact that it is the great equalizer. So it's something that we all share in common. It just breaks down barriers and walls. So every human being that graces planet Earth, all of us are going to dream. This is not an elite club or a high flyer miles club to attain to. But this is a club that all can access. There's no split in first tier, second tier class society when it comes to this. Everybody can dream. Equal rights in the spiritual dimension, in the night season. We spend a third of our lives dreaming, according to science. So by the time I reach 60 years of age, you reach 60 years of age, or maybe you have, you'll spend 20 years of those 60 dreaming. A third of our lives are spent invested in the night season. We spend a lot of time resting when we go to bed, when we wake up, that in-between zone, that in-between realm, that's the realm of dreaming. A third of the holy scriptures, of the ancient mystical texts, the Hebraic method that I've spoken about, that I attain to, that is my belief system. And many people on this call or out there, their belief system as well, millions around the world, the Hebraic method. A third of the holy scriptures, the Hebraic method, the journey of the ancient Hebrews and their story to the promised land is visions and dreams. The entire book of Revelation was a dream. Most of Ezekiel and Isaiah and Daniel are just riddled with dreams and visions and supernatural encounters in the night season. There's a lot to be said. There's a lot of blueprints. There's a lot going on. So to use an example, because I always like using examples from our society to support my topics and conversations, Siddhartha Ribeiro is a neuroscientist at the deputy director of the Brain Institute at the Federal University of Rio Grande do Norte in Brazil. So he says sleep and dreaming are an essential part of a healthy life. REM sleep, so that's just when you get into deep sleep, which dominates the second half of the night, plays a major role in processing emotional and procedural memories, such as dealing with frustration, etc. The interplay between slow wave sleep and REM sleep allows memories to migrate from one place to another within the human brain, undergoing important transformations over time. Really, really, woo, bam. And a good night's rest also facilitates creativity. Salvador Dali's paintings, he's an artist, famous artist, The First Sewing Machine, The Periodic Table, and the song Yesterday by Paul McCartney, all came from dreams. I bet you didn't know that last one. I didn't until I recently researched that in the conversation notes for this talk. But Yesterday by Paul McCartney, amongst The Periodic Table, The Sewing Machine, all those things and more came from the realm of dreams. It came from a blueprint, from that spiritual dimension, from their higher power. So in the past 20 years, neuroscientists have shown that REM sleep and dreaming indeed increase memory restructuring, task solving, creativity. So it's important. I'm starting to build up the case, the importance for dreams being the great equalizer for us to really find that level playing field and really care about it. It's like, you say, Caleb, why does this matter? I don't really care about dreams, or, you know, they're just, yeah, they're interesting, but they're not really something I'm totally invested into. But there's a reason why a third of our lives are invested in that realm. And one of my heroes in homeschooling, when I was homeschooled, me and my two older brothers, we learned about a lot of heroes of the faith, heroes who walked with God, heroes who walked hand in hand with their creator, with the higher power, with Christ, and really trusted in the supernatural, trusted in the heavenly realms, trusted in the dreams being the blueprints, the great equalizer that really gave them the map and the compass to reach all the way north. Who am I talking about here? I'm talking about Harriet Tubman. She was a runaway slave who became one of the most well-known leaders of the Underground Railroad during the Civil War era. She was a dreamer. Oh, she dreamed lots. She found her compass in the dream world, and she knew how to come, where to go to, how to escape, which houses were safe, which houses were not, that were going to turn her into. But she used her dreams when she would fall asleep and when she was running away from her captors that were chasing her with dogs and with guns and chasing her through swamps. And she would be running on foot from the south all the way to north, like through multiple states and through thousands of kilometers. It was a harrowing journey. And the first few voyages she made on her own, but she was never really alone. God was with her, the overshadowing. Psalms 91, he who dwells or she who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, she'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So Harriet Tubman, she knew that dreams were the great equalizer. She knew her ancestors, her forefathers and foremothers, like Joseph and Daniel and Abraham and many people throughout the Bible in the Old and the New Testament, Mary and Joseph, et cetera, they dreams were the roadmap that they were given to be able to go from one place to the next and for direction, for warning, for inspiration. There's all sorts of categories of dreams. It's just a ton to get into that is a topic for another day. But our dreams have many different categories, warning dreams, inspiration dreams, fleshing dreams, revelatory dreams. So no two dreamers are alike. The way I dream is going to be different from the way that you dream. It's going to be the way different than the way that Harriet Tubman dreamed. It's going to be different than the way that Paul McCartney or Salvador Dali dreamed. It's the great equalizer. So what I'm getting into is that there's no class that really matters for qualifications, pre-qualifications for a dreamer. You and I are equal in this matter. It doesn't matter if you're from a high tier rich class, a mid tier middle class, or the lower class society and economics or finances or cultural or with social equity. It doesn't matter with any of those things. You are a dreamer. I am a dreamer. We are dreamers. This is a disc that the creator, that God put into our DNA from the beginning of time, I believe, to really find our answers when the world is not speaking the answers that we need. And God knows we need answers in this time, because there's a lot of chaos, there's a lot of turmoil, there's a lot of uncertainty in the world today right now. Dreams are the compass. So it's everything I'm getting back into, multiple perspective advantage. So people like Harriet Tubman, Salvador Dali, Paul McCartney, from ancient history to more recent history to modern history, probably a lot of stuff that you don't hear about in the history books in school. School is very secular. They like to keep away this mystical stuff. They think it's a lot of them think it's hocus pocus or really just confetti on the cake. But really it's the meat, it's the juice, it's the core, it's the crux, this spiritual language. So I want to get into something very, very important now. This going into the next phase of my talk. I'm going to talk for another 15 minutes, and then we're going to go into our first and only break. This is really important. So for those of you who knew before the show, for being prepared with some of your dreams, if you have a short dream, like a particularly short dream to share, we're standing by for your call after the break. Or you can just message us in the Facebook chat and just leave a comment and say, there's a question you have about one of your dreams. Specifically, let's keep it to dreams. So a dream of the night season that you had, short dream, then I can provide some interpretation just because I'm on the topic of dreams. And I know that many of the callers in months past have been waiting, clamoring for me to get back onto my dreams talks. And of course, this is who I am. This is what I love to do mainly and foremost. But I believe that this is the time just to open that up for that. So that's going to be after the break. But In the next 15 minutes, I'm going to speak to you and lay the foundation for this equalizing topic that we're getting on. So I've continued to share some of the history, some of the people that did, why it's important, refocusing, restructuring our gaze and our focus on this. But now let's talk about a really interesting person from the history books. I'm a student of history, by the way. So by now, if you haven't noticed that, then okay. Here's a refresher. I love history. And so from people in history, they are fascinating to me because so many of them speak as a blueprint, as a living story, a metaphor, an allegory, an oracle for really just interpreting their life as if it's a dream. But a lot of these explorers and people who discovered the new world and new seas and new lands, they were mystical people as well. They were spiritual people. They had an investment in the dream world, in the higher realms, in the heavenly realms. They were looking beyond the navigation compass of the earth. They were looking beyond the boundaries, the measuring points. So some of you may hear of a man called Sir Francis Drake. He was an English explorer, sea captain, naval officer, politician. Drake is best known for his circumnavigation of the world in a single expedition from 1577 to 1580. He was a true explorer and truly saw the world through MPA, multiple perspective advantage. Though this man was obviously not perfect, having been a slave trader at one point, because he was earlier in his life, he did change his life and have a spiritual transformation as easily seen in this prayer. So we're going to pray it together. It's a very famous prayer that that he uttered. And let's think about it from his perspective as a sea explorer, a naval captain, naval officer, of just circumnavigating the world, of seeing everything. He had seen everything in that journey, every land, mostly for the most part, every land that was known at that time. He traveled across many seas, saw many animals, bird life, fish life in the sea. He had seen to that point most of what the globe had to offer for people at that time within the technology that they had. So let's journey with Sir Francis into this metaphoric language, because this is very similar to the dream language that he crafted in this incredible prayer. That it can easily be seen. Listen to this perspective as one who is looking for more in the spiritual realm. Let's journey with him together. So these words are worth reading slowly because they're really weighty. They're really puts a lot of fuel in our fire, in our spiritual fire. It lives for me. So close your eyes maybe, or just listen to me as I speak this, and imagine yourself on the high seas of the heavenly realms of navigating into the stars. So, prayer of Sir Francis Drake. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, O God, when the abundance of the things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life, and having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity, and in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, O God, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas where storms will show your mastery. We're losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push us into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. Disturb us, O God. Just lifts us up. It's that unplugging that I'm talking about. Unplugging from the things we possess, the cares of life. We can so easily lose our thirst for the waters of life, for eternity, for the spiritual realm, for the heavenly realms, for navigating that realm. So can you feel how this equalizes everybody? let's get back to that topic we've been speaking about so far for the first 20 minutes of this talk. How can you feel that this equalizes everybody? Level playing field. We are all travelers navigating through life's many dangers and high seas. This is truth. This is the reality of it. You and I, we're all navigating something. I'm navigating something. It's different than what my everyone on this call is navigating. It's different from any of us here at Transformation Talk Radio are navigating. It's different from what you as a listener are navigating. Everybody's navigating something unique in their own way. In our own way, we're all on the tumultuous high seas. But we have a navigation, we have a compass, we have a direction, we have a blueprint, we have an equalizer. It's the realm of the eternal. It's the dream compass. Drake eloquently put it that way. We have to push back our mundane lives, the mundane of our lives. And we have to be disturbed enough to look up from the chaos of what's going on right now, because human beings are very amazing creatures. We are amazing, made in the image of God, but we only have wisdom to a certain capacity in a container. And right now, here's a little bit of a disclaimer. If you or I, any of us, are looking for world leaders in politics, in government, in the business class, the rich of Hollywood, actors, actresses, soap opera celebrities, you know, church leader, ministry leader, religious leader for any of our direction, like as far as being our main source of, okay, we're putting all our hopes and eggs in that basket, we're going to be sorely disappointed. It's the realm of dreams. It's the realm that comes directly from God's hand himself that is really going to fulfill this aching and this longing for direction. Because it's built within us. It's built within us. We are three-part beings, according to the book of Thessalonians. We are spirit, soul, and body. And most of the time in Western culture, we invest so much into the body, into fitness, into keeping healthy, and to making sure that we're this temple is taken care of. And then even our minds as well, we fill it so much with books and reading material and podcasts and articles that we read online. But our spirit is neglected so much. We don't take enough time to be disturbed, to look above our lives and look towards eternity. So I invite myself, speaking to myself, but to really be disturbed enough to look up, to look into the unseen. Do not look at the things which are seen, for they are temporary, but look at the things which are not seen. That's what Jesus commanded us to do in the scriptures. For the things which are not seen are eternal. Do not labor for the food which perishes, for the worldly food, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. This spiritual food of dreams, of visions, of encounters, of trances, of angelic encounters, of just bread from heaven. So I'm going to get into something in the next few minutes here before we go into the break. This is something we're going to hold on to now. In the years I've traveled the world, to make this more personal, and spoken in fairs, events, festivals, one-on-ones, all throughout my many years of experience, over, you know, decades of experience, I've noticed a common trend. When I ask people, do they dream? How is your dream life? So I'll ask them that. How is your dream life? Like, how are you? How's your nightlife? How's your nightlife? Because it is a wonderful life. Most say, I don't dream. Most say, I don't dream, never dream, not a dreamer. They immediately disregard it. They say, no, I don't dream. I'm not a dreamer. That's not me. That's somebody else. And they'll pass the buck. But when I dig further, many will admit that they have childhood recurring dreams, stupid clip dreams, they call them, where they dream of something really small that you can probably fit in two sentences, and then they wake up. Silly imagery dreams of their dog or their stuffed animal or something where they'll disqualify himself, like that, like bird, that hen that I have behind me on my shoulder. they'll think that, oh, it's silly. That's just something, that's nothing. And they convince themselves that they're not a dreamer. And then eventually their spirit starts to believe that's true. And then it just shuts off. Everyone wants to be a big shot in the dream world. Our Western culture has really done a poor job in painting a false reality, a false picture, just like the Instagram world. It's like the Facebook world where everything's polished and put together and perfect and big and don't you wish you were me kind of thing. And just that false sense of reality. Everyone wants to be a big shot because, oh, the bigger it is, the, you know, great dream, great American dream, or great, dream of being powerful from one of the, you know, just big ticket countries of the world, first world countries, big, it's got to be big. And many people think the longer the dreams are, the more spiritual you are, the more time it takes to write it down means, oh, this is really more important than the smaller dreams. But that's not true. That's really hubris. That's pride. There's meaning in small dreams and in large dreams. There's equal meaning. And oftentimes I think the smaller things that are even more of parables and riddles. Excuse me. Is oftentimes clip dreams and the small and simple things that are the most profound much of the time. America is very much bigger, but go home. When I say America, I just mean the Western culture. I'm not picking on the Yanks. So me as a Canadian here picking on the Yanks. We got our own issues to deal with right now. Eastern culture, they savor every detail and they stretch out every moment and they camp and meditate on that point and savor it. They place themselves in that dream. These are cultural things. So as we go into break, how do people lose the ability to dream? Daytime sets the expectation for the night season. Daytime awake is really what we're doing in the daytime really sets the tone and the soil for the night season. Mind, eye gates, and belief systems. How we just talking about convincing ourselves, are we a dreamer or not? Because we can shut off the gift even by belief systems and thoughts that permeate our spirit. Do we practice daydreaming, being childlike? This is a gate, seeing, believing, just putting yourself in that daydreaming state. So many times in school, we were all taught, oh, stop daydreaming, you know, pay attention, you know, and obviously we need to pay attention to our academic learning. But I think to a point that was an over discipline to the point where a lot of people thought that daydreaming was no longer necessary in life because it was somehow evil or somehow wrong or somehow bad and it was disruptive to society. Well, daydreaming is... this is how the blueprints get built. This is how the diagram and the papers really come together, is by daydreaming. So let's build that daydreaming culture, that just seeing with our eye gates and we're savoring it. And also knowing that we are dreamers. I've spent this last half an hour here now saying that, building that foundation. We are dreamers. You and I are a dreamer. It's a great equalizer. We're all dreamers. So as we go into the break in the next minute, I just want to conclude with this point. So what you steward and focus on the day will make a soil for the night season. It will really paint a picture for the night season. What fills your gates? What fills my gates? Electronic, TV, we talked about unplugging. These are negative networks wiring in the opposite of faith to dreaming. It really disrupts our REM sleep. It disrupts our vision. It disrupts our focus. Are these things evil? No, not at all. I'm speaking to you on a technology right now, but it has to be really in moderation, everything in moderation, right? If you have too much junk food or sugar or sweets, you're not going to get the healthy body that you desire, right? So it's the same thing with our spirit. We've got to monitor our electronics, TV, eye gates, and really build that place of rest, build a habitation, build a culture, build a potting soil for the equalizing plane of dreams to be able to really be planted and sprout up. So there's no effort to electronics or turning on technology. The car is little, no effort. It's lazy listening, but really it's a focus when we get into the place of looking into the equalizing state of dreams and really expecting, putting that journal next to the bed, daydreaming, meditating, listening to music before we go to sleep, and really expecting that we're going to dream. So we're going to go into break now for a few moments. And then when we get back from break, we'll cover a little bit of biblical dream interpretation history, and then we'll get into some dreams if there are some dreams out there. So we will see you in a few minutes.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
It takes courage to step into your calling and go for your dreams. Sabotage monsters can get in your way, preventing you from reaching your potential. You can choose to struggle alone, or you can choose community and support, someone to walk beside you, meeting you where you are. If you are ready to make real and lasting change, Coach Christine Clark is here for you. Find out more about one-on-one coaching and group programs with Coach Christine at sunglowtransformation.com.
Melissa Johnson is a certified life coach, author, speaker, and creator of WOW Ministries, Worship Over Worry, designed to give you the tools needed to live a life of purpose. You have a choice daily to worry about your life and give up the fight, or decide to worship God through your pain and triumph victoriously. Melissa Johnson offers a variety of books, curriculums, and programs to guide you through a self-discovery journey.
Book your consultation with Melissa Johnson today at wowministriesllc.com.
Tune in to the Sacred Attunement Show with Asher Countryman, unlocking the power of mind, body, soul abundance. Tune in every first and third Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Asher as she guides you to sacred attunement. Align your mindset and your actions to master your life's purpose. Discover more at SacredAttunement.com.
Your own innate brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during My Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
As different layers of consciousness unfold in each show, you won't want to miss a second of this. Make sure to tune in to Transmutation Time, Energetic Alchemy for an Amazing Life, every month with Kelly Kay on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Kelly and the show, visit www.enlightenedmedicine.com. You have the power to turn trauma into transcendence. Come bring your shadow into the light so you can begin to truly heal and grow today.
Grooving to the music. Gotta do it on The Truth Is Funny with a nice smile and shoulder shimmy. So that was good. Hopefully you had a good break. You're able to catch some tea or coffee or morning biscuit, whatever time of the world it is right now, whether you're listening to this in the morning or the afternoon or evening. That's all right. So before the break, we talked about the great equalizer, dreams. We laid the foundation. We spoke of many different people in history like Salvador Dali and Paul McCartney and Harriet Tubman, and really also the mindset of Eastern versus Western, the Eastern mindset of everything has meaning and importance, even the small things, versus the Western mindset of, oh, it's got to be go big or go home, right? The Western way, the American way. And then we also talked about how do people lose the ability to dream? Well, we convince ourselves and we're too focused on the things of the world. So Sir Francis Drake's prayer of disturb us, O God, to look above the horizons and see in the horizons of our hopes, the things for our future, and really looking onto the waters of life and of eternity, and really not spending over amounts of time invested in the world system and economy to more than what we need to, but really looking into the spiritual and looking into that realm where the blueprints are, where they come from. And then at the end, before our break, we spoke on God's soil, which is peace, which is rest, which is revelation, which is daydreaming, which is just really focusing on the right source and not letting the dirty noise or the electric waves and the shock waves of our world overwhelm our sockets and really disconnect us from having that container to remember our dreams. So it was really interesting. On break, Jessica and I were talking, great assistant, Jessica, she's awesome. Really, is a question that she brought up here as well. Why do people sometimes not remember parts of their dreams or their dreams when they wake up? And I think there's many different layers to that answer, like an onion, but the one that we were talking about on the break is, I think sometimes our higher power, God, spirit, creator, Christ really knows, God knows what we can handle. And sometimes there are things in our dreams that just like we can only handle so much in our plate in life, or so many sockets can go into an electrical socket before it explodes. God knows what we can handle. So there are pieces of our dreams that we maybe aren't supposed to remember for right now, but we remember for later. That is one layer. The next layer I wanted to get onto was, sometimes we don't remember our dreams because when we wake up, we're already thinking of, oh, I got to take out the garbage. Oh, I got to check the news on my phone. Oh, I got to take the dog out for a walk. And those things that have their level of importance, but sometimes we can shut off of the what we're receiving through the antenna as we're waking up by our subconscious already leaning towards the cares of life. So I'm not downplaying the cares of life by any means. We all have responsibilities. We all have things that we need to do and look after and care for, our family, our environment, our house, our finances, our pets, if we have them. But these things really should be, in my opinion, second fiddle to when we're receiving a dream and cherishing a dream. That should be our highest priority. And part of the way that I make that my priority is to have a journal next to my bed. Hopefully you do as well. And if you are woken up in the middle of the night and you're early in the morning, oh my goodness, I have to write this down. I'm so tired. I want to go to sleep. That's usually the way you forget a dream. If you wake up and it's right there and you think you're going to turn over and go back to sleep, most of the time it's gone. Or in the morning, oh, I'll write that down after breakfast or after I walk the dog or after I check the news on my phone. Well, as soon as that shift happens to that different source, a different gate, that different antenna, then we can lose what came from our spiritual antenna. So just that's a reminder. So I really enjoyed that question over the break. It was good to talk about that. So we really just have to set our soil and our intentions towards that. So stewarding what we focus in the day, daydreaming, making sure that we're not filling up the too much dirt, like loud noise, day noise, dirty noise to actually disrupt our antennas. So let's go into our paradigm or just foundation, so to speak, for really what we're talking about. So we have it open for dream interpretation. If there are some of the listeners who want to chat into Jessica right now, she's standing by, or call in for some short dreams. I can even open it up as well too for dream questions, but specifically let's just keep it around the realm of dreams. But I'm going to get into a really famous dream interpretation from the Bible, from the scriptures, and then we're going to talk about that. And then if there isn't anybody in our audience that has a dream or something to share or to ask, then I'm going to get into one of my own and package that for you so we can walk through those principles together. So let's look at scripture. There is a famous story in scripture in the book of Judges of a man called Gideon. So he was a simple man. He was a farmer and somebody who worked the lands and the fields in ancient Israel. And him and his father's house and his neighbors and the whole land, they were under constant threat of Midianite raiders. The land of Midian, the Midianites were their neighbors. And they were constantly coming in seasonally every spring to raid the threshing floor, to take off the best of the grain and to kill whoever was in their path and burn. And it was depressing. The Judges was a time when Israel didn't have any strong political or government leadership or army, and they were really ripe for the picking from any of their neighbors around them. And Gideon was a farmer, simple farmer, trying to keep to himself, But he probably was increasingly frustrated with every spring, knowing the Midianites were coming, doing all that work, and then seeing all the work that he was doing was just eaten up and barely anything left to be able to survive on for himself or his family or his family's house or his neighbors. So this was very frustrating. But Gideon eventually was called by God, by an angel of God, by heaven, to lead the Israelite army to victory. He starts trying to convince himself he can't do it. I'm the least, these. Why didn't you call me? Call somebody else. And really tried to disqualify himself from the calling of God. But God kept on his tail. Eventually, Gideon is conscripted to tear down the idols of the land that were erected by his forefathers and by the government that were foreign idols. He tore those down. And then after some confrontations from some of the evil powers that be in the land of people within their own ranks, he was then called by the Spirit of God to raise up an army. So first he had thousands, and God is like, no, that's too many. It's too big. See, here's the topic of big again. Too big. Let's get smaller. So then he took Gideon and his men down to a river, and God instructed Gideon to tell them to drink. And those that were scooping up water and looking up were the ones that were chosen. The ones that were on their knees with drinking face down were the ones that were sent home. God really wanted an army to win this victory, that they drank differently. Their focus was different. There's that thing about focus again. Their eyes were not on the rivers of the world, but they were on the waters of life. They were on the heavenly realms. They were from a different place, a different answer. So by the end, Gideon and his 300 men were the ones that were to stand against Midian, the thousands of Midianites invaders that had come in the valley. So God told Gideon a couple nights, the night before the battle, actually, because God was going to have these 300 make a lot of noise and surround the Midianite camp and light torches and throw their pots down and smash them and just shout. They were going to have the appearance of a greater army. So it was kind of like some deception warfare, so to speak, but God was really on their side too. And heaven was on their side too. So they really weren't outnumbered. It was the Midianites that were outnumbered. But God told Gideon to go down to the camp. And so he went down to the Midianite camp. And as he went down to the Midianite camp, God said, listen to what's going on. And so Gideon came as he was going down to the camp. He snuck in and started to listen to what they were saying to each other. And as they were talking to each other, Gideon came upon the camp by secret and heard one soldier telling another his dream in Judges chapter 7, verses 13. It says, Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp down the hill. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. What a crazy dream, a barley loaf of bread just tumbling down the hill. If you or I had a dream like that today, I think most people would say, oh, that's ridiculous. There's no possible way that could mean something. But there is. There's a meaning there. And this meaning actually helped Gideon and his army and just have the faith and the courage to be able to win the battle the following day. So Gideon was a loaf of bread, because the one soldier turned to the other and said, this can never be none other be than the sword of the Lord and Gideon, the son of Joash. He has delivered Midian into the hands of Israel. This is the enemy soldiers talking, and they had the interpretation. They knew the interpretation. They knew the interpretation was the sword of the Lord, and God was with Gideon to drive out the Midianites, and that really they were fighting a battle that was already decided. So Gideon was the loaf of bread. So let's go into the interpretation. Gideon was the loaf of bread that rolls down a hill and wipes out a bunch of tents. So the tent was obviously the Midianite encampment. Soldier from the opposite camp knew how to interpret dreams. The Midianites knew how to interpret dreams. Their culture was a culture of dreamers. The Israelites, they knew how to interpret dreams. When Gideon heard the dream, its interpretation, he praised God. It said he knew that it was built into their culture. It was the equalizer. So this is really encouraging. even a soldier that God can use from the enemy army to be able to blurt out a dream. God uses everything. He even uses our opposition. He uses the opposing forces of darkness. He uses the sons and daughters of light. All of us have a role to play. All of us are dreamers. All of us have the container to dream. And it's not always the perfect people. Gideon didn't have the ability to dream himself because he was under siege. He was under attack from the enemy's raids. Remember, I was saying that before. He was really at the end of his rope. He was depressed and discouraged, and God had him feed off of others' dreams. That's really important. In fact, it was his enemy's dreams, as I said before, was the answer that he needed. So let's step back for a minute and just look at that. You may think, okay, well, I haven't dreamed, Caleb, in a long time. I don't remember my dreams, and it's been ages since I've dreamed. What do you do when you are in a situation like that? Well, for myself, if I was in that situation, I would go back into history, start looking at people who dreamed. I would delve gold from others who've dreamed and really just start to ask God and build that into my prayer life and language of, Lord, disturb me, O God, to look above, like Sir Francis Drake prayed, so that I'm not overly content with the things of life and the things I possess. I don't want to lose my thirst for the waters of life. And really, let's build that expectation, build that culture, build that thirst, build that desire. They say that 21 days it takes to build a habit, according to science. So just like going to the, you know, to work out or going for a walk or really starting to discipline ourselves in the natural to eat that food that's really good for us, even though it may not taste as good as the junk food. There is a specific habit that we get into when we form these habits by repetition over time. It's the same thing with dreams. So hopefully by now you start to see that this is really important. Building this habit, building this focus, building this culture of dreaming, just like Gideon, just like even the Midianite camp, the enemy. So dreams are the equalizer for all human beings, all classes, regardless of society and what side of the fence you can dream. So we need to be disturbed. Disturb us, O God, from complacency, from this realm, so that we can go into the next on a regular basis, the night season, to journey there, to see beyond the matrix. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. Do not gaze at the things which are seen, for they are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So I want to get into shortly one of my dreams that I had some years back, and then we're going to just close it up here. So really, I dreamed in 2006, about 15 years ago, one of the influential foundational dreams that I had was when I was going to mystical school of dream interpretation. It was one of my first week at school in New Hampshire in the United States. This was back in 2006. And I had a dream that I was a lion. I myself was a lion, an animal. And I was on this clifftop and I was sprinting towards the cliff. And then as I stretched out with my paws out and my hind legs back, I turned into an eagle and started to fly far above the cliffs, far above the ocean sea cliffs that were below. And then I woke up. That was it. Very short, very simple, concise. So immediately you may think, okay, well, it's pretty short. How could there possibly be a lot of meaning in that? But the lion really is courage. That represents courage, boldness, be bold as a lion. The cliffs is really the vantage point, the altitude, the higher ground, the power in the spiritual realm. And then jumping off the cliff is really taking the leap of faith. It's really stepping out in faith and into the unknown, because a lion's not supposed to jump off a cliff. Usually it goes tumbling to its death. But then that's where I turned into the eagle and flying, soaring above, catching the winds in the updraft. So really at that point, that was really God speaking to me, saying that, be bold as a lion in accessing the higher ground, the higher realms, the high places in the spiritual realm in Christ. And as you take leaps of faith into the unknown of your life, you'll soar like an eagle on the updraft of the spirit. So that's a little bit of interpretation, but in the Proverbs, it says that God makes wise the simple. So I want to encourage you, don't disqualify yourself if you have small dreams. If you don't dream an epic storybook pictured, like just metaphors and big allegory storybooks that you can fill pages and pages with. There's some people who are epic dreamers and there are some that are clip dreamers. Every person dreams. Keep in mind, equalizer. Doesn't mean if it's longer or shorter, that's more spiritual, less spiritual than the other. There's juice in both, especially in short dreams. I think there's a lot of good stuff there. So doesn't look like we have any dream questions or dream interpretations. So with that, I'm going to get into the wrapping up of the talk here. I've got a few more things to share here. So who has access to this amazing supernatural gift? Martin Luther King Jr. said, "We shall overcome. The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. No lie can live forever. Truth forever on the scaffold," as Martin Luther Jr., King Jr. said. So what does that mean for us? We shall overcome. We are in a dark world right now. Let's just not make any ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of council of powers, of just corrupt, dark political powers, government powers, rich, big businesses, big pharma, things like that. There is a lot of that out there. There's a lot of really screwy stuff going on in the world. But you know what? Martin Luther King Jr. Said, "We shall overcome. The arc of the universe is long. The moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice." The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. No lie can live forever. Truth forever on the scaffold. Truth crushed to earth will eventually rise again. So this is the truth that has never been crushed, is that dreams are the great equalizer. It's the great realm of blueprints and of papers, our marching order papers, to really to pull that from that realm and manifest it in this one, from God, from our higher power. Galatians 6:9, "Do not become weary in doing well, for in due season you shall reap what you sow, and do not, if you faint not." So let's reap as we sow into the night season, as we sow into daydreaming, as we sow into keeping our journals next to our bed, as we sow into revelating and meditating and pushing away and unplugging sometimes from the world system and really building that together in the last few minutes here. So let's build an appetite for dreams, knowing that this great gift is for us and will level the playing field of the spiritual universe. Do something with the dreams that we are given. Honor what we've been given. Have those dreams. These dreams are for us. They are for everyone. Scripture says, "Write down what you see in a vision on a scroll so that he or she who reads it may run." Habakkuk chapter 2. So I bless you. I bless you right now as I pray for you right now as we conclude here, that you are a joint heir in the heavenly realms, in the spirit of God, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of counsel in Christ. You are a joint heir of the salvation, of the light of heaven, and also of dreams and visions, of your inheritance, the great equalizer. So I bless you with dreams and visions in the night season of that Jacob's ladder, of that heavenly realm, of that ladder between heaven and earth, that blueprint to be plugged into those waters, those heavenly waters. And that God would disturb. He would disturb you, he would disturb me, he would disturb us to get into the night season more. I'm going to pray this as I conclude and then let you go. Disturb us, O Lord, when we are too pleased with ourselves, the natural world. When our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, our earthly ambitions. When we arrive safely in this life because we have sailed too close to the shores of the earth. Disturb us, O Lord, with when the abundance of the things we possess in this life, we have lost our thirst for the waters of heaven. And having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity. In our efforts to build a new earth on this planet, we have allowed our vision of the heavenly realms to dim. Disturb us, O Lord, to dare more boldly in the night season, to venture on wider seas where storms will show your mastery in the night. We're losing sight of land. We shall find the stars of the heavenly realms. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push us into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love, and navigate us. Disturb us, O God, in the night season, I pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Thanks a lot for tuning in and see you next month. I think I'm going to be on the talk again in March, but have an amazing rest of your day. Shalom, light, and peace to you.
You've been listening to The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens, with Colette Marie Steffen, gracing the airwaves every Wednesdays at 8 a.m. Pacific since 2013. And we're live on Facebook, providing nuggets of wisdom from her book, The Truth is Funny, and 3-card consultations from Tales of the Vector Oracle. Colette has poured 14 years of energetic upgrades into this deck, and we can all predict what will happen if you continue in your wanton ways. Check out how you can become an official modern-day dragon sayer by visiting thetruthisfunny.com. Energetic upgrades to lift you, shift you, and power you to ride the wave of infinite potential. You are a blank canvas. May as well paint a rainbow. We'd love to hear from you. Call in next week, 1-800-930-2819.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.